Good morning, Chef. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Aaron. How are you, sir?
Well, still trying to figure out why it is that we are so addicted to cooking shows. I mean, every day, and I don't know if it's a lockdown thing because I finally in my life discovered the kitchen and can't keep my own butt out of there, but I love this. I really love, and then now you've turned it into Wild Card Kitchen.
Cheers. You know what? I think this cooking shows, we all eat, right? Every single day we're all eating. So it's always interesting that I think that, you know, or really, at least I think it's interesting that people find cooking shows interesting because you want to know what the world is eating. You want to know what other chefs are cooking. You want to know what, you know, your neighbors are eating and stuff like that. So it always brings people back, and we always find fun ways to kind of get their attention. And we're doing exactly that with Wild Card Kitchen.
Did you ever think there would be a culinary poker game, though?
A culinary poker game was not on my bingo cards for 2024. I got to tell you that, like, it was definitely not. When the idea came up to do the show, I got to be honest, I'm a novice at best as far as poker is concerned. So I was learning on the fly, but I thought the idea was absolutely brilliant. And it's so much fun, you know. We're rather than like your numbers or your spades and your clubs and your diamonds, we're playing with community cards. So there's a dish card, there's a time card, and there's an ingredient card that all three chefs have to essentially cook and adhere to. And then the game starts to get interesting when I essentially hand out a wild card. So, Arrow, your wild card can be like you have an extra 7 minutes to cook on top of the 25 minutes that were allotted. Or I have a wild card that says I have to use the ice cream machine for maybe a dish that doesn't even deserve ice cream. So at that point, you start to wager and you kind of like bid against yourself and your opponent. And you cook, and the food that comes out of the kitchen is absolutely amazing. The creativity from these chefs always blows my mind, and I'm always inspired, to be honest. And then we have an esteemed judge come and try out the food and legitimately critique them, and chefs are betting with their own money. So there's a lot of like different factors that just make this show so interesting to watch, but especially the fact that these chefs are coming in with their own cash and no one wants to go home a loser. So there's bragging rights, there's money, there's all the above.
Wow. You know, when the chefs are there to sample the food, I would get full too quickly. How is it that they never look like they're getting too full?
If you're a seasoned judge, like a Scott Conant or a Antonio LaFaso, who've done Chopped, you know, for seasons and year in and year out, you kind of know what to do as far as like saving your belly and your space, and also criticizing the food wholeheartedly. Like, you're trying everything out, maybe each component one by one, a little bite, and then you probably get like a nice kind of bite of it all together. And then I think, if it's really, really, really good, you'll see a judge kind of continuously eating. But I think you can tell if the judge is kind of satisfied, it might be a couple of bites here and they're pondering and thinking and they're pretty much done with their plate. So just like in the restaurant, you know, we spend hours and hours and hours prepping and making the food just for our guests to kind of finish it in 20 minutes. So it's the same kind of like reward system, to be honest.
I'll tell you the wild card that I would love to get. And it's only because I like washing dishes as I'm using it, as I'm preparing everything, because I think that's a form of meditation in my kitchen. And that wild card would give me that opportunity to clean up the plates while we're doing things, because I don't like a mess.
I'm totally with you. We can work together in the same kitchen. I have to clean as I go, and that to me it's serenity, right? You get to see where all your utensils and equipment is, and you're not necessarily running up and down, you know, your pantry or your cupboards to find, you know, the cheese grater or the spatula, whatever the case is. So yeah, clean as you go. I definitely subscribe to that 100%.
I think my connection to Wild Card Kitchen is the fact that I am that guy that I don't have the cards in my kitchen, but I will go to the refrigerator or I'll go to the pantry and I go, what can I put together today that really doesn't need to go together?
Yeah.
Like recently I did sardines, sauerkraut and mustard. Oh my God, it was so good. It was just so good.
You know what? That's not a bad, like, again, like you said, that's probably something that Like if you are in a restaurant, you probably would think, I don't know if that tastes good, but I like where you're at. You got the tangy, you got the sour, obviously, mm-hmm. a little bit of that salty. So these are all things that play well with, these are all things that play well with each other. So depending on how you made it, that sounds like an absolutely delicious combination. I can definitely see a chef like making something delicious out of that.
How important is instinct on this show? Because is it all about stream thinking, or do you have to just go, God, I got to make the move right now, or somebody else will do it for me?
Oh man, that's a great question. I think it's a little bit of like, it is instinctual, yeah, but I think ultimately each chef that comes into the kitchen for Wild Card Kitchen in that arena is super skilled and talented. So you're relying mostly on, you know, your fundamentals and those laurels that you built, whether in culinary school or years in the kitchen or whatever the case is. So it's the fundamentals, and essentially you're taking those and you're playing jazz with it, so to speak, right? So you have something that may not work, right? But you have to kind of make it work. And just like jazz, it's all like fundamental, you know, horns and brass and drums, but they're just going crazy with it. And it just sounds so beautiful, right? But it's a little chaotic at the same time. And I think that's exactly what happens in Wild Card Kitchen.
So when it doesn't go right, I know what I do. I usually jump for the spices. And I mean, when it doesn't go right, how do they react?
You got to make it work because there's no do-overs.
It's, I love it is that what attitude. It is. So,
yeah, there's no do-overs whatsoever. So you just got to make it work. I remember one, for instance, it was Chef Carlos Anthony who wanted to do corn dogs. It was Viet that wanted to do corn dogs, and he was grilling it, and they just didn't come out. So he had to pivot right then and there, and he made it work. And really, that's, again, relying on those fundamentals, those laurels as a chef. Like, not everything is going to be perfect, even in a restaurant. Yeah. When, you know, you order 50 pounds of tuna and 50 pounds of salmon comes in, and it's like, okay, I can't switch up the menu. I can't, you know, return it. I got to use it. And you figure things out. So I love to see the kind of tight boxes that we put these chefs in and how creative they can get to get out of them. And we really see some amazing food. We see some crazy food as well, but we most likely see some really delicious dishes.
Don't you think that one of the stars of this show is the fact that you guys set up the scene to make it look like a late night kitchen, and that, you know, it makes me as a viewer go, does this really happen? Is this what the chefs are really doing when they're still there late at night?
100%. You know, like during the day in Food Network Kitchen, you get that like standard kinetic energy that you see in a test kitchen. You got chefs, you know, doing demos, maybe doing some R&D for books.
I love this idea that chef against chef, and you better bring about $5,000. I mean, that there's no messing around on this show.
No, it's legit. These chefs are coming in with their own hard-earned cash. So you get to see how frugal or how loose they are with their money. But honestly, they don't want to lose. And the bragging rights are just as much as the money. So these chefs come in with money, and they're either leaving with enough money to probably get home on a MetroCard and on a subway, or a trip to Bora Bora, one of the two.
Do you find yourself being a student? I mean, when you've got that much, you know, that the skills of these chefs in one room, you've got to be a student.
100%. I'd be foolish not to take in and take heed to what these chefs are doing. I mean, it's a really interesting position to be in, to see three chefs every single week at the top of their games, and they're cooking food in ways that I probably wouldn't even think of, or inspiring me in ways. I mean, there's a million different ways to cut an onion or to like braise steak or whatever, but there's also a few ways to do it right and fundamentally right. And to watch a chef kind of like go through their process, and either it's the technical or the cultural or the like where you are in proximity and the seasonality, there's so many different things and combinations that I personally wouldn't even think to do or to add into a dish that I'm inspired by, and I can kind of keep in my back pocket for the next instance. Let's say I'm in a, you know, competition, and you know, I need to make something with an ice cream maker. I can think back to when and you know, be inspired by that.
So now, take us behind the scenes for just a moment. Give us that bird's eye view from the wizard side, in the way of how do you set up the stage for this to happen? I mean, because I mean, prep is everything in the kitchen.
Yeah. It's wow. We have a fully stocked pantry.
Really?
I mean, we're in the Food Network kitchen, right? So we got pretty much everything that you would imagine you can need in a competition. But we really want to see these chefs cook, so we give them enough time to kind of make something really delicious. But it's not all the time in the world where they, you know, you have to sit down and you're making like a three Michelin star menu or anything like that. So it's enough time to kind of feel the pressure and feel that anxiety a little bit, but also enough time to make some delicious food. So I think we set them up perfectly. The cards usually, sometimes they're wacky, but sometimes they work in their favor and they play nice. And really, we rely on the creativity and the skill of the chef. You know, if you really are invited to come and walk our kitchen, then, you know, I already know that you have the skill to kind of to make a delicious meal in 20 minutes if you need to, or, and, you know, you better come out with something really, really delicious if you have 30 minutes, you know. Yeah. And all these chefs have been in that and that kind of arena as well. So they know the deal.
See, I like being under pressure inside that kitchen. I mean, because I think some of my best dishes come to life. For instance, like I'm trying to reinvent hot and sour. I don't want hot and sour as an appetizer. I want it to be a meal by adding protein to it, yeah, ramen and things like that. But I can't convince any of these stores or restaurants in Charlotte to, you know, give him a chance. Let him reinvent some hot and sour soup.
You know what? We get to do that in the kitchen all the time. And
wow,
it's so much fun. Yeah, it's so much fun to watch these chefs. Even if they, like, the cards don't like ask you to do it, you'll see a chef just kind of like naturally go for it because that's what it's in their wheelhouse, right? So they're either going to the stuff that they know, the stuff that's comfortable for them. And yeah, the amazing combinations of flavors, hot and sour, bitter and sweet,
yep,
you know, all those things that can happen. It's really, really delicious to try out.
There's got to be a cookbook coming out sometime, seriously, because you guys are inventing on the spot.
that's what the cookbook should be called, inventing on the spot too. Like how to make meals when you don't even know what to do. And really, I think ultimately it's pairing, It's having a delicate hand with the sweet, the sour, the bitter, the umami, the you know, those different flavor profiles, and a little bit of heat as well, and balancing all of that in a way that is, one, technically cooked well, but tastes good as well. I think that's super important. You know, the food has to taste good, so it's really a teeter, kind of like it's a lever pull, you know what I mean? You really want to make sure that you get the perfect kind of like ratio, engage it just right, especially when you're cooking for an esteemed judge.
Yeah. How much trash talk ends up on the cutting room floor?
Oh, way too much. We should have a wild card kitchen, a chef's cut, like after dark,
yeah,
right? Just so you can hear, yeah, the after hours when it gets intense. It's we keep it a family atmosphere, but sometimes things got a little wry and, you know, chefs get a little intense with their buddy. I mean, again, when you're playing with your own money, there's really the stakes just get so high. But yeah, there's some definite conversations and some trash talk that was left on the cutting room floor for sure.
Oh my God. My favorite kind of talk though is when they do it underneath their breath and yet they knew that we heard what they said. And it's like, oh, come on, you go ahead and bring it right now.
Exactly. Not like America's watching, right?
Right. Well, congratulations on Wild Card Kitchen on the Food Network, which I am so addicted to. Now, and listeners need to understand that the app is there for your smartphone as well as your flat screen, because I mean, once you're hooked up to the Food Network, my God, it is a place of beauty.
Yeah, for sure. There's so much content, so many things that you can learn, shows and just snippets. So yeah, I've been there and I kind of got lost in the app as well. So you can definitely do it as well.
Please come back to the show anytime in the future. The door is always going to be open for you.
I appreciate that, Errol. Thank you so much.
You be brilliant today, okay, sir?
You as well. Thank you so much.